Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Don't worry, Barn. Everything's going to change once we pass our finals tomorrow.
Fred?
And I know just how to ace this test. See, all these other mugs are going to stay up all night studying.
Fred?
Don't interrupt. Then when they finally do get to sleep, all the information's just going to fall right out of their heads. Now, me, I'm way ahead of everybody. I'm not going to study tonight. I'm going to get a good night's rest, get up extra early, and study in the morning. That way, everything will still be right up front in my noggin by the time I get to work to take the test.
That's great, Fred. There's just one thing.
What's that?
The test is today.
Today?
Your eyes are like two big blue eyes. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack, episode 373, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Brian, he's normal sized, but somehow emptied the entire swimming pool anyway, Dunaway.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Holy crap. It's time for yet another round of Theme Song Fact Check, where I will attempt to validate the facts of this week's song without singing along. God save us all. It's this again. Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. No thanks. And yeah, I'm singing it. They're the modern Stone Age family. I can't do it. This is the third time I've done this stupid routine in 2 months.
Yeah.
From the town of Bedrock. It's a fictional town. They're a page right out of history. At no time did man and dinosaurs live together.
Yeah.
All right. I'm skipping right to the end. When you're with the Flintstones, hold on, Scott. It's almost over.
Right.
Have a yabba dabba do time. Hey, when are we going to sack Scooby Doo? What's that? We already did. A dabba do time. We'll have a gay old time.
Dude.
That used to mean happy, and it still does.
It still does.
In Vegas. Right. Oh, wow. I think I'm going to be sick. Randy, give me some vitamins. No, not those.
Wow. I don't know what to say about that. Also with us, Randy, that's a lot of clams, Jordan.
Yeah, just falling everywhere. Aloha, Scott, John Stone, Brian Igneous, and Brian Dunnis Late. It's me, your old friend, Randy Deluxe Rock, Sedimentary Shales Rock, Fossil Clam Rock, Metamorphic Rock, Seismic Rock, 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 Rock.
Rock-a-rock-a-roo is the best thing that doesn't exist in as a saying in the Flintstones. I love that. Rock-a-rock-a-roo. Well done. And
see,
with
because
this,
once I started changing your names, it got really boring really fast.
Sure.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And finally, Brian, the ugly Baldwin brother, Ibbot.
He's the Baldwin brother that didn't get as much oxygen as the other ones. Hey, I'm not making any promises not to sing along. As a matter of fact, Flintstones, it's the prequel. We'll find out how they all came to be. Mm-hmm. Wilma and Betty, Fred and Barney, they'll ruxplain it all to you and me. For example, we'll learn that Betty just can't wait to go to bed with a guy on their first date, and Wilma came from money, but it's never shown in the cartoon. Not in the cartoon. They just hope we'll forget.
Right.
I'll tell you what, those pearls are carrying a lot of weight in this story.
They really are.
They are the
sword of destiny of Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas.
Yep.
They really are. It's like, what? How could we give her a backstory? What do we know about her from the cartoons?
Exactly.
This one thing. We have pearls. That's the one thing we've got.
Yep. And there's no
overbearing mother-in-law.
Yeah. And no mention of that at all in the first one, which I haven't seen in ages, so I couldn't really tell you how much of any of that got into. But it's also on Netflix, by the way. People are going to wonder why we skipped straight to Viva Rock Vegas. And I'm not sure why we did, but I'm kind of...
Tell us, Brian Dunaway, now that you've seen both of them, why did we skip the first one?
I watched both, and I don't know why we skipped the first one, other than we knew there would be Vegas talk in this one. And Ibbot loves him some Vegas talk.
Yeah.
I also know that it's the way lesser of the two Flintstones movies.
Yeah.
Like,
way lesser? Come on.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it's the Batman and Robin to the Flintstones Batman.
Yeah, or it's Batman Forever versus Batman and Robin.
It's
good point. Good point because they're both garbage.
They're kind of both right.
Garbage.
And the only reason, by the way, according if the trivia is to be believed, the only reason they made a sequel or a prequel was because John Goodman said no. He's like, I'm never doing that again. F you, I'm not going to be in that sequel. And they said, all right, well, what about if they're younger and they haven't met yet and all that?
I've got this great script I'm going to be doing for this movie called Speed Racer. I don't have time to do a Flintstones prequel.
I would just like to jump straight to the love I have for this movie. I can't imagine any person in the first movie was as spot on playing their character as every person in this movie.
You're an insane person.
There's
no
way John Goodman does a better Fred Flintstone than Robert Baratheon. There's no way.
I'm gonna give Randy that, because there were lesser actors in this movie, and for the most part, let's not be too critical. However, yes, I thought the impressions were much better.
Okay, I'll give you Fred, but I'm not giving you Barney. No way I'm giving you Barney.
I've never seen a Barney Rubble I wanted to punch more in the face.
Of course not. But Jane Krakowski doing Betty Rubble's laugh was amazing. I loved every time she was on the screen. Just perfect.
Yeah.
But it makes Betty into like kind of a slut. Like,
okay. Okay.
Did you not watch the original series? I mean,
no.
Did that ever come up? It's like,
well, they were very lovey dovey.
First date. Now she's also, you know, hooking up with Mick Jagrock.
Help me, Dunaway. Barney and Betty were really into each other in the cartoon, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, sure. But they weren't so into each other that it was like, it wasn't like, all right, we'll see you later, Fred. We're going to go hump in the back room. It wasn't like that. It was
It was exactly like that.
It was nothing like that. By the way, the best name in the movie, I just have to get this out before I forget. It's Keith Rockhard is my favorite.
Yeah,
that was good.
That was good. I thought Mick Jagged.
Yeah. It was a little suggestive. Who? Mick Jagged? Was that his name?
I think that was a bad one. That one was not good.
Yeah. He's also played by the same guy that played the Martian. So that was weird.
Yeah, Alan Cumming.
Yeah,
Oscar nominee Alan Cumming.
Yeah, I thought he was interesting. when this movie was over, wait, did we have more like setup?
Oh, I totally do. You know what? Scott Fletcher has some. Let's just let him say it. Here it is.
The Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. In this live-action prequel to the 1994 comedy hit, the Flintstones and the Rubbles go on a trip to Rock Vegas, where Wilma is pursued by Playboy Chip Rockefeller, featuring the Great Gazoo.
Distributed by Universal. I should just read all the credit. Music by David Newman.
By the way, Chip played by Dharma or Greg from Dharma and Greg, which
at this point, very few people probably remember that. More they probably remember Criminal Minds, right?
Yeah, probably.
His thing for the last 15 years.
Has he been on that?
He's on that show. Yeah,
he's all right. He's okay.
I only know him as the guy that I thought was Mo in the Three Stooges movie and was wrong, and of course Baratheon.
Oh yeah, right.
Oh, you're talking about
Mark Addy. I'm sorry, the other guy, Chip Rockefeller.
Right. Yeah. We're talking about Thomas Gibson, and he's in this role in this movie. One, because he would take the role, and two, because he's dashing. He's got a huge jawline and that perfect hair and so forth. Like he fits the bill of a rich guy, just some average rich guy. But I was actually a little disturbed at how evil he turns out to be. Like, I felt like it was too much. I hated him because of how he is. I didn't need him to also be so evil that he's imprisoning people and, you know, this kind of thing.
You know,
there's one thing this movie tries to stay away from. It's having anything that's kind of over the top.
Yeah. That's a good point. By the way, he's interchangeable with two other actors, and I'm going to tell you who they are.
Okay.
Interchangeable with Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
You could swap him there.
Who was kind of in, I think he was kind of, he wasn't really like the handsome guy, but he was in the first movie. I can't remember who he was. Wasn't he like the guy who was the Drysdale, you know, the bank guy trying to take their money or something?
Oh, okay. You're talking about in the original.
I'm talking about in the first Flintstones movie. I could have sworn MacLachlan's in there.
There's one. You know what? Maybe that's what I'm doing. Is I'm conflating him into that movie. Maybe
you just watched it, Brian. Did you not? Was Colin MacLachlan not in the first Flintstones?
And I did not. I don't remember. Yeah, he was actually. He was Cliff, right? So yeah, I guess he was. So it was the same. It was supposed to be the same character. I didn't realize.
No. Different guy.
Not supposed to be the same character.
Different guy, but kind of the same job.
But you can picture him.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Like, Scott can picture, you know, Kyle MacLachlan.
just never say it again.
You know, just say Kyle. Agent Cooper. He can picture Agent Cooper in a Flintstones role, and I think that was because he was in that first Flintstones movie.
Sure. There was a movie. What was the movie from? Was it While You Were Sleeping? That's the movie. Okay, 1995's While You Were Sleeping with Sandra Bullock. Peter Gallagher's the other guy you can swap into this role. Do you guys know who I'm talking about? He could have. That's that guy. So whatever that archetype is, there's like five of them floating around Hollywood. And anytime you need some smarmy a-hole rich kid guy, man, he's
dark,
your guy.
Very dark brown hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very dark brown straight hair that does that thing when they cut it in all these sharp edges and then brush it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That thing is particular. I don't know what you call. Why do we have names for haircuts? By the way,
I don't know. I don't know.
I would even throw Eric McCormick into that role.
That's another good one. Yeah, so. That's a good one. How about Chris Noth? Oh, yeah. You could put Chris Noth in there.
He's but Chris saying, Noth, another good one. Yeah.
What we're basically saying is that white guys all look alike. I really thought that he didn't have anything to do in this movie, right? Like he wasn't having to play an established character that you care about with funny voice or whatever.
Right.
Like the whole movie hinges and it starts when it first starts. I'm like, oh no, because you see the characters and your first thought is there's no way, looking how they look, they're gonna fit the roles.
Sure.
But then the whole first 30 minutes, I was just so pleased the whole time.
Really?
Every new character they introduced, I'm like, I actually wanted it to end when they get to the montage of everybody falling in love.
Yeah.
And you know, before they go to Rock Vegas, I was done. I was like, this is great.
I hated every second of this movie, including the first 30 minutes. I must have watched a different film. I think this is a really bad movie. And if you're going to rank the worst comedies we've seen, this is right up there, man. Yeah. On Film Sack for me is one of the worst freaking pieces of garbage I've ever seen. It is just a trash heap from start to finish. Now, if you're super into their impressions, then I get it. They are good at them. Probably better than the first movie was. The first movie took liberties in that regard, but
I'd like to say Elizabeth Perkins, I think, makes a better Wilma Flintstone than Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Wait, Kristen Stewart, what? Is that her name?
That's Kristen. Name. Kristen Stewart?
Kristen Johnston.
No, Kristen Johnston.
Johnson.
Sorry.
But
Third rock from the lady is her name.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But I feel like she was more entertaining.
I liked her fine. Her, you know what? Oh, yeah. Her and Betty, they're fine.
Right. And the whole thing,
I'll give you Jane Krakowski way better than Rosie O'Donnell as a Betty Rubble.
Oh yeah, Rosie played a pretty good octopus though in this thing, her little cameo. Did you see that for a hug?
And also the whole thing was the interplay between Kristen Johnston and Jane Krakowski. So one is a foot taller than the other, which was really humorous to see when they're like side by side and so on. Like she really like I thought Jane Krakowski like to wear a horrible like dress made out of white cowhide or something. Like you have to, you know,
yeah.
Like every one of them sold their soul for the character. And like, I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying?
I guess,
like,
you know what? You're bringing me around a little bit on that. Maybe I didn't appreciate it as I was going. I already knew I was going into something that was pretty universally hated. So, you know, what I felt like I was looking at is like the third or fourth American Pie movie where no one's the same character.
Oh, right.
It's all new people. Eugene Levy shows up for 5 minutes. And it's that kind of treatment, and this should have been direct to DVD sort of stuff, and it's not quite that, you know.
Yeah, but can we finally maybe get Jeff Garland to finally play the role he was meant to play, which is Fred Flintstone? if they decide to take another stab at this, Jeff Garland is the There's only one name on the list of Fred Flintstone actors, and it's Jeff Garland.
Sure,
this movie was made like 18 years ago,
I know, and so
he wasn't there yet.
Yeah,
and I'm. I got to come back around to freaking King Robert Baratheon. Like, he has no business being this good, like this accurate, all the stuff. Like, they're asking him to do the Twinkle Toes thing over and over, and he goes for it. And I thought that was just, I really appreciate it.
Well, they can stick wires on anybody and make them do the Twinkle Toes thing.
Could I say something?
But an actor could also say, an actor could also say no. An actor can stop.
Well, sure.
Not do that. That is a bad idea, and he went for it, and I like it.
Yeah.
Can I say something about the Twinkle Toes bowling?
Of course,
sure.
For some reason, it disturbs me. They did it in the first one. They did it in this one, and for some reason, it makes my skin crawl.
Do you know why?
It might be the diddly 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 thing. You're right.
I know the answer to this. This movie and all other movies like it. I'm going to lump in. By the way, who said that we saw Scooby-Doo? Because we haven't seen the Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I did. We actually have seen Scooby. Did we see the second Scooby-Doo?
We have not seen either Scooby-Doo. Nope.
We need to put that in because I got to do my 4-part theme song fact check.
Oh, good. Oh my God. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm just gonna say that all of those kinds of things where it used to be a cartoon and now it's a live action film. This Scooby-Doo, I can't think of some others. Rocky and Bullwinkle, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Just don't do them. This is proof that you shouldn't do them. And here's what you do instead. There is a way to do it, though. Get these beloved characters. Call Jeff Garland in for voice work if you want and get him the role of a lifetime finally. And make these into slapsticky, well-made, 3D animated films. That's how these work. They don't work. Yes, the Peanuts movie is good. And if that was a live-action movie, I would hate it. I would hate it if it was just a kid with curly hair and a sweater on. We freaking F that. That would suck. So get the right studio on it. Have some fun with it.
I made a list, an enormous list of movies that were cartoons and were made into live action films. And it's shocking when you start really digging in. Like, they did make a Smurfs movie and a second one. And there's a Marmaduke movie that's got live action.
What's
so
the other
on,
one we saw? Popeye we saw? Popeye's one?
Popeye.
I have a soft spot for Popeye, but again, I also think, and they were doing a 3D animated thing. It was going to be Genndy Tartakovsky did Samurai Jack and those Transylvania movies and stuff. He was supposed to do it. They had even an early teaser trailer and something got canceled and apparently he's hard to work with. But anyway, could have gone for that.
I am glad that the first Flintstone, the 1996 94.
Yep.
Okay. I'm glad that one exists. I don't know the point for the prequel. I don't get that.
I'm with you. I think that thing should have stayed where it was. It's fine if people like it or don't. That's that. I don't know that you need a sequel that many years later, by the way. So it was 94.
Yeah.
Didn't get it till 2000. Wow. So 6-7 years or something. That's nuts. Yeah.
This was 6 years of rewrites and script treatments and,
same director too. So it's not, you know, he was all involved. It's not like they hired new people behind the scenes so much.
Right.
So he still produced and wrote and all that. And I don't know.
I gotta say the thing that I hated in the cartoon actually was the best thing in this movie, and that was the great Gazoo.
Really?
Oh, interesting. Because he's such a trope alert. Give me a trope alert.
He's like five trope alerts.
But his main trope is breaking the fourth wall. He absolutely comes to the movie to talk to the audience and to be this extra thing that bridges us to the world.
Right.
And it was useless. The whole movie was just absolutely useless.
Wait, I kind of like the tech. The tech was cool. A little bit.
Sure.
A little bit. Yeah. You know.
And had we really seen the...
feet and his feet should have dangled and stuff and moved. It looked like he was just standing on you know...
Wasn't this right before standing
on a green screen?
Right, but wasn't this right before we started doing a lot of that big head, little body thing?
I don't know. What else did we get? What are you talking about?
For the computer graphics. I mean, we hadn't really got to the point where we were really showing characters with giant bobbleheads.
Was there a lot of bobblehead stuff to follow?
Yeah, that's my question. What came after this?
Yeah, I mean, music videos were inundated with the big bobbleheaded looking.
Did they?
You know, characters and people. Oh yeah, this went on through the 2000s. You
don't
remember
this at all.
Bobblehead. Did you ever watch the Ludacris video, music video?
No.
Where he's the big bobblehead? No.
I don't think so.
No.
What else? Were there any movies with bobbleheads in it?
Well, I mean, like, Are We There Yet? Kind of played that little bit, even the true bobblehead. But there was a whole time where it was not uncommon to see some kind of weird character in a commercial or video with these bobbleheaded
with like a big bob with a big head and little body.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean I'm kind of into the look. I think it was cool looking the way they did it, because it's kind of because it was also, you could tell these were filmed in two different places, that body was, you know, not moving in accord with whoever the dude is underneath. Like, it was it was just weird enough that I kind of got a kick out of it. But in terms of his impact on story, he was my least favorite thing in the cartoons as well. Like, what the hell, dude? A Martian going back to caveman times? That's stupid.
It feels like they
already had the Jetsons.
Yeah, right.
It feels like they added him as kind of like the Cousin Oliver thing in later seasons of the Flintstones, just because they needed something new to, like, breathe new life into.
He's
the
like Scrappy Doo.
You also have to untie holes, right? Like, when you make a knot, it's a plot hole. You got to untie it somehow, and he just allows you to do that over and over and over. But he's not necessary. Like, you can do that with Dino, for instance, or other characters. I'm just saying, you don't have to have him. And the whole movie, he was the one thing that I just never liked. He was on the screen, I wasn't happy.
Well, Dino,
we were describing the Great Gazoo as the Deus Ex Machina of Flintstones.
Yeah, the Great Gazoo. Is. Well done, buddy.
But I like it in the movie. I would literally have preferred a whole Great Gazoo episode movie over this.
Okay, yeah. There are other children's movies that do that, sure.
Sure, there's plenty of those. He's the Jiminy Cricket of this movie. He's the, you know, there's a thousand of these characters out there. He is what that is. But there was no resolution with him, was my biggest complaint. No. So as annoying as he was or whatever, at the end, you're supposed to have, it should end like it started with your little cold open, get him back up into space and talk to those idiots, and it's all cleared up now, and they're dumb, and he's great, you know, like something. They didn't give me any of that. It was just like a wedding.
So you didn't watch the post roll?
No, there's no. Is there a post roll?
No one did.
A little title card that says we're in Universal Studios.
Okay, all right, because we're all watching this on Netflix, and Netflix was like, as soon as the credits started, I mean, within a millisecond, the Netflix is like, hey, we got a Boss Baby TV series
for you, and I'm all,
take me there.
You like this?
Yeah, they were not. They were wasting no time to make sure if you were still there, that you would keep clicking and stay in their service. It's a weird thing. These movies, Casper, and, you know, I could name a million of them. I can't think of them all right now.
Well, the problem is that they tried to do everything to provide at least if it's a prequel or if it's the first movie of a series like that, where they're reintroducing new audiences to it, but it's the thing the parents grew up with. They feel like they've got to explain everything, explain the pearls, explain why Fred goes bowling, explain why, why Wilma, Betty, and Barney and Fred live in Bedrock Estates. Like everything, they feel like they've got to. But they've got a Harrison Ford scar chin, everything.
That all works. Like, I hate to say it, it all works. And the reason I say it works is because I watched it with an 8-year-old who had never once seen anything Flintstones before. No cartoon, no first movie. This was his first Flintstones thing, and he sat there and giggled like he was tickled for an hour and a half. It was amazing. All that stuff where it's like they go bowling and the ball splits, and it was like, oh, well, I've seen it, but he's never seen that, and he just loved it.
Yeah, I guarantee this thing was, well, it was PG, but also just I think it was really for kids, and that's the aiming, that's the audience you're aiming for, and in a lot of ways, I suppose that probably succeeded. It's all the olds that were like either saw these originally or like us grew up with reruns of it that were just like, couldn't this have been done better? I feel like you get both those audiences with a stylized 3D animated approach in 2000 and on. I don't think you can get away with there's a reason this new Mario movie that's coming out is not live action like that terrible freaking Mario Brothers movie. Yeah. If they're going,
don't you speak evil of the Super Mario Brother movie?
That movie sucks.
Or the TV series.
Detective Pikachu is going to be the cross between live action and 3D, isn't it?
Yes. Is it? I don't know. I know that there's a game. So. Isn't there a game going on?
The Detective. Yeah, there's a movie with Ryan Reynolds doing the voice of Detective Pikachu.
See, I'm kind of into that. Like, you can just do a lot more physicality but also keep it in the cartoon realm, and this just is like, I mean, my favorite thing in either of these two movies, either of the Flintstones movies, is the giant food. I want those replicas of the giant food. I love the idea of a burger that's like the size
of my technology
car.
Right. All of the tech around it,
that stuff's great.
Did you appreciate that they made it Bronto King? I mean, I don't know if I appreciate I think I liked it better as a generalized, you know, no name kind of in his own world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know why, though, right? Because it was a time.
Oh, I know why.
Yeah. So that they could sell kids meals with Flintstones garbage in it.
Right.
Back in 2000.
Who else do you, what other fast food place do you think might have went in for that? Taco Bell, maybe?
Rocco Bell.
Oh, Rocco Bell.
Did anybody else notice Jane Krakowski competently skating on roller skates?
No, I did.
That was very impressive.
That was great.
But does it surprise you? I mean, Jane Krakowski seems she would have been the...
she does seem like such a polymath, right? Like, she could just do anything. Like, how does she not have an EGOT yet?
Yeah.
At the time, though, the problem with this movie is you don't know any of these people. You're looking to take your kid to go see a movie, and you look at the actors, and you're like, I recognize the last name Baldwin. I don't even know this non-Alec, you know?
Well, you probably...
Usual Suspects was like 5 years before. Biodome was right before. I mean, this was like after a string of films for Stephen Baldwin.
Films, did you call them that?
Well, in the case of what's-her-name?
Kristen Johnson. Krakowski. Had been doing Third Rock for a while.
She was in that Ally McBeal thing the previous two years or whatever. So, but it was right around the same. This is 2000. She was on Ally McBeal in 99 for I don't know how long, 13 episodes. Like, and then went on.
Mark Addy was an unknown for me then.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, I take it back. She was 97 through 2002 total. So this was in the middle of her time on Ally McBeal. But I get what Randy's saying, especially Baratheon. He was known for all sorts of British things. The guy's British as hell, and it's impressive how he hid that accent. Mm.
Yeah.
But he did the Full Monty is what I knew him from. Before all of this, he was one of the dancers in that, basically the fat guy in that group. He still works a ton in British television, like a ton. If you go look at his IMDb, it's rife with like shows we'll never get here in the States. But now we all know him because he was, you know, Robert Baratheon in 2011, 11 years after this thing. So, So anyway, I just think he's great. Now it's the saving grace of the movie for me is that I just like him anyway. This is a paying the bills, American Hollywood thing for him. I don't hold it against him. He's fine. He sounds like Fred in a way that's more Fred than anyone else has sounded like Fred, including other follow-up Freds on the cartoon that weren't as good as the original Fred.
Right.
So, you know, hats off for that stuff, but you're not really given much here. It's the jokes are horrendous. They're not, nothing's funny. Like, name something funny. Somebody stump me here and name something funny.
There's so many things I thought were funny. The thing when they go to the carnival and they're all running around in the photo posing cards, no, and they the, end up in their own characters. Just I
wish I had a 7 or 8 year old to watch this with. That's what I wish I would have done.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that makes a difference.
The APB, you know, with the mug shots of Fred and Barney as the cartoons that they're handing out to everybody.
All right.
And then somebody in the background mumbles, "Leave no stone unturned."
All right, like, that's kind of funny.
Like, that one in.
There's another the part I actually will admit to laughing out loud is they went to the carnival and they're seeing, you know, they're just walking in and seeing the sights and everything, and one of the guys goes, step right up and see the 40-year-old man. It's unbelievable. Like, this idea that their life expectancy was so much lower. Yes. That's funny.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But not enough of that as far as I was concerned. It was too much Twinkle Toes, cartoon noises. I appreciated that Dino was literally audio lifted from the old cartoon series.
From the original. Yeah.
Right.
Which
right.
was all.
Yeah, that was, we get a Dino origin story, too.
Which is, right. what's his name? Yes. It's
Mel Blanc.
Yeah. Which is so great that they did that. And it worked for me. Dino's representation here. Totally worked for me. Just an idiot dog dinosaur wants to just find its owner and lick his face off. That's awesome. Totally
That's
nailed
weird.
Dino.
Right. Whose dog is barking right now?
I know. It's on cue.
Yeah,
perfectly
that was
on
great.
Cue.
That's great. I love that. It's not mine.
So some of the actors that did not return for this, but they did, Rosie O'Donnell, that kind of made me laugh because she was the octopus masseuse voice.
Yeah. Yeah, and
right,
I heard
which
her.
Which is
I
not calamari, by the way.
No.
Calamari is squid.
No. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing. That joke, there were so many other jokes that could have been made there. I don't understand that joke.
Yeah, I'm going to play it just because we're talking about it.
All right.
Hold on. It is right here.
I just found out what calamari means.
Yeah, maybe she has a friend. Who's
calamari.
Yeah.
Calamari.
Because...
It is that, like, that is their homage to the old cartoons, where every time they used an appliance animal. That was made out of an animal, they'd cut right to a close-up of the animal, and I thought my previous life was rough, or something like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's always that.
That's basically it, every time, what you just said. That's it.
Every single time.
Yeah, I was bummed out,
disposal
though.
Elephant. Oh, I'm glad they're not eating chicken tonight.
It did bother, it bummed me out that when they're at the rock quarry doing the stuff, the brontosaurus crane that he's operating is not in the cartoon. It's an actual brontosaurus. It's like a functioning dinosaur.
Oh.
In this thing, it was like this weird paper mache contraption.
Well, because that was
he's
his
training.
Test one. Yeah, he's training.
Yeah.
He's not ready yet.
I didn't get that.
There were actual brontosaurus cranes in the background.
Oh, I miss.
I like that. Scott thinks the special effects were so bad.
Well, they weren't good. First of all, like, the CGI was pretty bad in a lot of places and stuff. But I thought that the cranes were like, oh well, we'll just do these mechanical ones. So if you guys are saying, oh no, these were training ones, they're doing the same job as the others. So just have the mechanical ones. Quit using animals. You know what I mean?
No, it was. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, just use those because it's the same shit.
Those are stationary. Like, it's just put in one place so he can drop the rocks into the little point bucket.
Kill his boss.
And what
so
was
he can
the
balls up top?
But what? Yeah. What was the big ones? What was the big farting ones point? What was the deal there? What did that?
He was that he was basically a broken down machine because Fred or Barney was going to be a mechanic and he had to unclog the fix the
blockage.
Right, fix the heavy machinery in the other part of the quarry.
The point, Scott, was that 8-year-olds think that farting is funny,
and it got a huge laugh over
it
here.
It was well received.
It went on and on because it's not just a fart; it's like a wind that blows people around for a while.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
I am 5'7". This movie's great for real. Mm-hmm. Like this movie was one of the best things I've ever seen. If I was 7. But I'm not.
Scott, did you write down that it was Jaws on that?
I did. It's not him.
Dunking booth.
It's not him. It's
not him.
It's a different guy. Irwin. What
That's
is it?
Irwin Keyes.
Those guys are the same. They may as well be brothers, dude.
Right. It's odd because in this movie, he is he's getting dunked, but he's actually on Fred's and Barney's bowling team. In the
in the first movie,
in the first one, right?
Oh, really?
Oh, how interesting!
Oh, so he's in both of these things.
Does he do something in the first one to make himself worthy of punishment in the second one?
It's a good question. I'm not sure, but Richard Mall was also in the bowling team. So.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, that's
okay.
Weird.
Did you guys
maybe
see?
Maybe we do need to watch that first one.
Did you see Sulu? Was the valet?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was, or Harold from Harold and Kumar. Show, yes. Yeah, that guy was great. I expected to see Sulu, Kumar any minute because wasn't that
right?
Wasn't that was kind of their time? I think was early 2000s yeah, for those two. But
hey, what was he did that?
Yeah.
What was the whole point of the date? The beginning of the date where Fred is with Betty and Barney and Wilmer together. Like
it's the date swap.
Right, but it's never, there's no payoff, there's no reason for it, it doesn't cause, like, you'd write something into a story like that to cause strife between the main characters, like, ooh, now I want to date Betty, but I know she came with Fred. There was the payoff was a shrug their shoulders, sure, that's fine.
A relatable moment is what I was thinking of. I'm like, are they trying to say, oh, this happens a lot when you're in high school. You go for one girl, but it ends up flipping like that. And I don't know. I don't know where they're going for, but yeah, I was with you. It was
it's almost like they had a different direction that they were going to go with that and just said, we'll just make it so that they end up with the right thing 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
So Barney and Fred rarely have real conflict.
Right.
In the cartoon. So
no, they're always together working it. And actually, I didn't like that. I didn't like when they were opposed, and I didn't like that the other two are opposed. And I understand that prequels do this. Uh-huh. It's like their job is to say, well, it wasn't always so great. Here's where the conflicts were. And I just was like, ugh. And it's such a simple concept that it bugs me. You have to go, I don't need backstory on Fred, Wilma, Barney, and Betty. I don't. Right. Right. I just need to get to the wacky hijinks of the weekly business of living as those people in the thing and in the garbage disposal, some kind of, you know, triceratops that's pissed that he's chewing up your food. Yeah, it goes
outside what the heart of the Flintstones is. And we've talked about this before, I believe. But yeah, so the Flintstones is essentially the Honeymooners, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we never really saw the Honeymooners go to Vegas.
No.
So yeah, we're kind of outside that realm of source material, right?
Actually, I don't think I've ever seen the Honeymooners, to be honest. I know of what? It. I just never saw it.
I don't know if I've seen an entire episode.
Really?
Yeah.
The Honeymooners kind of inspired the Flintstones. The Flintstones inspired the Simpsons. The Simpsons inspired the Family Guy. And now Seth is looking at doing some Flintstone stuff, I believe, if I remember my trivia correctly.
Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Huh. All right. I mean, look, I'm telling you, a funny, stylized throwback visually to the cartoon, but obviously updated. Again, I look at that Peanuts one as a good example because I just think they killed that mix. And it's the right tone for what Peanuts is. Do that, but for this, it would be madcap, funny, great sound effects. All this goofiness would be there. And I think I would love that. I think I'd be totally into it. I mean, story matters, of course. You need to have something going on. But that's a thing I would totally get into. No problem. Bring it.
I'll give you another answer to your what was funny in this movie, and that's Harvey Korman as Old Man Flygoople.
Yeah, I feel bad for him, though. He shouldn't be involved in this.
It's
but
the same.
His last ever movie.
It was. He's the Raul Julia. 1994 is a bad year because, this wasn't 94. But 94 was Raul Julia's last movie, Street Fighter. What a shame that was. And then to have the comic genius that is Harvey Korman. All generations acknowledge that that's true. He is an amazing piece of work. And his last movie is this shit squeaker? Come on.
I really hope that Patrick Cranshaw studied this movie a moment in preparing to be Blue in Old School. Because that was the same joke, you know, this sort of like mentally vacant old man who, you know, is just there to be laughed at. Yeah. I found it funny. There's two sort of subtexts that this movie is bound to for the whole film. These plots that it can't ever let go of. One is slobs versus snobs, right? Mm-hmm. That's a thing for the whole movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other is that the alien wants to see copulation. And so you only have those two things, and you have to keep weaving them back together again and again and again.
Maybe
they're about to kiss for the first time. We have to, you know, we have to have the alien observe this.
Maybe it's my 2018 self saying this, so forgive me for this, but I feel like I'm so past anything where the two of your main jokes are dudes in dresses or old man with early Alzheimer's is funny. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, basically, those were these two one-note jokes. Ha, they look like ladies. Well, they're dancing like ladies.
I just want to be clear. It wasn't Alzheimer's, right? It was shell shock, right?
Whatever.
We don't know. Hey, yeah, okay. How will... really? Okay, so... Yeah, I'm done with it, Will. I don't know.
Well, okay, let's go to the ladies dance, or guys in drag dancing.
Yeah, drag is just that went out with Milton Berle and
but this was a Flip this Wilson. Was a right. Sure. This was supposed to be kind of a throwback comedy. So in Vegas,
so in the Flintstones time period, drag is still funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. I think you're onto something. I really, really do. I really think that when you make a period piece comedy, and boy, talk about an extreme distance for a period, right? Yeah. When you make a period piece comedy, you have to consider what would have been funny at that time. I really do. I think you're onto something.
But I mean, the world's so ridiculous. It's just it's a mirror of our own, and in place of, you know, poker chips, it's clams, and in place of a car's engine, it's your feet, and in place of food, it's giant mastodon ribs, and you know, like
just think your lucky stars that smartphones weren't huge by this point.
Oh, I mean, my gosh, dude.
Yeah, they all have these little slabs, little rock slabs in their pockets.
Oh my gosh, you made the movie worse without even making it. It wasn't even in it.
Okay, so you have to hammer and chisel some emojis, and then there's the slab comes with a dinosaur, a flying dinosaur that watches what you do, and then it flies over to the other person's slab.
Yeah,
and I'm warning any future people thinking about making a Flintstones reboot.
Don't do it. It's too tempting. I even did it. I did a comic once. It shows a caveman in the first panel, and he yells, "Gronk want," and I can't remember what he wants. He wants some software or a song or something. And then all these rocks get thrown at him, little pieces get thrown at him, and then he assembles it into a finished tablet, and the caption is BitTorrent, or a caveman BitTorrent. Like,
I'm already sketching Bam Bam playing with a stone fidget spinner right now.
No, I don't like it.
They shouldn't have spent that ammo in the first movie, because they brought Pebbles and Bam Bam into the first one, and it would have been a better sequel if they had saved a little something for that. That would have been instead of doing a prequel, they could have went into that.
Yeah, if they'd have gotten the old cast,
they'd have to like really pour on the copulation. I mean, Gazoo, why didn't Gazoo just follow Wilma and Betty? I mean, I'm sorry, Barney and Betty, because they were on their way to take care of that after the carnival.
Yeah, they were ready to go.
Because Gazoo didn't know how that worked.
The noises this reminds me. Make too. Like, it's got to be the same as their laugh, but like slowed down. Like,
this reminds me, can we please talk about what grossed out Scott the most in this movie?
Thinking about Barney and Betty doing it probably would do it for me.
Okay, so there's a bit of a toss-up.
Please?
Go ahead.
So when we first meet Fred and Barney, they're living together and they have bunk beds. And the upper bunk is a very loosely woven mesh freaking... canopy, what do you call the thing?
Hammock,
thank you.
Hammock.
It's a hammock. And Fred gets in bed and he's looking right at Barney's ass. And I'm thinking, Barney is going to fall asleep and fart. And it's right there. Like,
didn't even think about it.
There's nothing preventing that fart from wafting right into your face.
Didn't even think about it. Not one I thought.
It was so gross.
Yeah, I would have, if I had thought about it, maybe.
Bronto fart that knocks Barney across the quarry, right? Just the fact that that's...
Yeah, but when a fart is that big, it's almost like there's no fart at all. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna disagree.
There's nothing else but Bronto fart in the taste of your mouth for like the next week.
Yeah, you're all breathing it. It's like Varian Wren's little green dots. You're all breathing
Like if you're close to somebody's barbecue pit for a while, it's like the whole next week you're smelling barbecue pit.
Here's the other thing. As Mick Jagged, Alan Cumming is wearing a very heavy fur. And as each scene passed by, I kept thinking more and more, God, he stinks. You just know he just stinks even more now.
I thought he stunk before, and now I'm sure of it. Yes, I agree with you there. But that's still not the grossest thing I thought I saw. I'll give you here are the two. The one of them has a sound to see if you guys remember this.
I'm just getting started.
All right. When Barney spit his food all over that model.
All over our chick in the bucket.
All over Melania Trump. Oh, I'm sorry. The chick in the bucket.
Poor thing. We just left her. She does appear in the dance number for some reason, which is weird. But
yeah.
We just leave her. We leave her covered in cream and creamy chocolate.
Yep.
No, we leave her with the worst bukkake money shot ever.
It's horrible.
Ever seen in cinema.
Oh, those are never worth the money. But anyway, when she gets, so she does that. He spits on her and does it twice. That grosses me out because I don't want. It's mostly because it's the Baldwin guy doing
Baldwin?
It.
Baldwin, really?
Yeah. And then that's to me, it's another Barney moment that tied with that, and that's when Barney seemingly can just get through the bars of that jail, and then blows his honker into this cheetah blanket looking Kleenex, and then shoves it in Fred's face and tells him he can do it.
Right.
That's right.
Freaking F that. Ugh.
Right. I was curious because we had a Cro-Magnon man, right?
Guard. That's a whole lot. We got to talk about this. Go ahead, Dunaway, but I have stuff to say. I'm annoyed by this.
Are we implying that Fred and Barney are more evolved?
Is
that the reason why he can squeeze through the bars? Because they were designed for a more ancient
larger,
being?
For someone who can't go upright and just walk through the bars?
But not only that, they were all over the place. They were waiters. They were the boxers that fought with the two clubs at the game, at the fight. Yeah. Like they had these like Geico looking cavemen.
That's exactly what I wrote. Yes, the Geico cavemen. Basically.
Yeah, and then they would come out and act like they were way less. I mean, and I don't know. I've actually kind of made me uncomfortable. It was a class system I didn't like. I don't think that's good.
Totally was.
Yeah. I mean, racial
but
stuff.
But it didn't offend you that the remote control when the bird remote control, he was so, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. It just seemed offensive the way
his accent was.
He was jive talking.
Yeah, basically. He was totally jive talking.
Yeah, that was jive horrible.
The little bird told me, a little bird told me this, and then the little bird pops out of the remote control. Hey, I gotta keep my job, you know?
Let there be no doubt in your mind that a bunch of comedians were brought in during late production and sat around a table and paid $500 a day each to punch up this movie. And you end up with that bird talking. You end up with the guy who keeps insisting that he's going to drive the dinosaurs extinct. Those are add-on punch-up jokes. There's no way they started out like, we're going to make this movie and we're going to have the jive-talking remote control
bird. They spent
no
too
way.
Much money then on their punch-up writers. That stuff is terrible.
Way too much.
Yeah.
I actually did like the confessional. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, the dinosaur extinction guy. I kind of liked him.
Yeah, I like the confessional that went around. That was
confessional was a great joke, and he tops it off. Mm-hmm. But having him come back out again,
one time too many
was not funny.
Yeah, one time too many with the guy at the end. I was like, all right, we get it, buddy.
Doesn't anybody care?
It's like, no one does. I haven't for a good 45 minutes. Yes.
Can I point you guys to the best IMDb photo this week?
Please do. Yeah, please. What do you got?
Yes.
It will be Dwayne Davis, who plays one of the thugs.
Mm-hmm. Davis.
I loved the thugs, by the way. I really liked the thugs.
Oh, the little one guy was the Seinfeld thug.
Danny Whitburn.
Sorry, not Seinfeld thug. He was Kramer's buddy that we're in the acting.
He was kind of a thug in the series.
Was he? I don't remember being thuggish, but anyway,
he was always kicking Kramer.
What's his name again, this guy you're
I'm
saying?
I'm sorry, Dwayne Davis. He played one of the goons.
And you'll know the picture when you see it because it's unbelievable.
Oh, look at this. Wow. All right. What are you kidding me? That's amazing.
I don't even want to describe it for the podcast listeners. I just want you to know it's unlike any other IMDb photo. It doesn't need to be on IMDb. It makes no sense whatsoever. Right? This guy doesn't have an agent.
That's really good.
But I guess we've seen him, Necessary Roughness, right?
Yeah, it's probably Necessary Roughness or something. Sure.
Yeah, it's actually film.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just like a headshot. Right. I mean, it's literally a headshot, but it's not.
That's really funny. Wow.
Yeah, Necessary Roughness. He was Featherstone, but I think we've seen him. Have we seen Ghosts of Mars? Yeah. Feels like we've seen him. But
we haven't. We want to. That's when we want to see them.
Right.
We did see Beetlejuice.
We did see Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I can't believe we haven't seen Under Siege.
I know. That's just never streaming.
Believe me, Brian Ebbett, it's on the list.
Yeah.
If it ever starts streaming.
Yeah.
We need part two on a train. That one's much better. I mean, we've got young Katherine Heigl. It's so good.
He hasn't worked since 2004 in a movie called Paparazzi, and I don't know what happened to him. I hope he's okay. He's not dead. He says he's living. I mean, that was the day he was like, you know what? He's like, F this business, and he put a picture of a football in front of a face of a helmet and left.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, who knows?
Oh, wow. He's the son of Green Bay Packers legend Willie Davis.
Oh, so, yeah. And he seems to have, in Beetlejuice, he was a football player. And in,
in the program,
he was a football player.
This doesn't look like the locker room coach or whatever it was. Wasn't it that the.
Mm-hmm. The Wait, is this the right guy I'm thinking of? Wait, this guy's black.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which guy am I thinking of?
You're talking about. Yeah, you're getting the goons confused with the two guys who are constantly falling around Chip.
That's why.
Big Rocco.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Little Rocco.
And Little Rocco.
Because when you were. Yeah. Okay. You're right.
Different goon.
The goon was at the employ of Chip, right? Because he was at the hotel. Yeah.
Yes.
The other
handing him the handing out the APBs, I think, or at least putting the pearls in Fred's pocket, that sort of thing.
Right.
The other IMDb photo I want to call your attention to is the very last person in the full cast. He's in the uncredited list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In the full cast, the very last person, his name is Christian Vincent. This is a guy who there is a perfectly good headshot in IMDb for him, but for some reason we decided to go with the one where he's pressed up against someone else.
Right.
And so we had to cut the other person out.
Yeah. Well, no, if you click on it, it blows up and it's just him. It's just
right.
That. Just
oh,
that
no, I, that's even worse.
Yeah.
They just
that's even worse.
The wrong
backcropping.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, oh, that's even worse.
Yeah,
I wanted him to be named One-Eyed Christian. Right. I really did.
The problem is they probably only will take portrait, and his dumb agent was like, all I got is this long one, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So
he also apparently is a dancer, so probably was used in one of the dance scenes. He's a dancer in The Shape of Water. He's a dancer during the Hall & Oates
He dances in The Shape of Water?
Yeah, there's a dance scene like in the What's Your Face Sings.
I've seen it.
That's when they're doing doing it with a fish. That's that movie.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. 500 Days of Summer. The Hall & Oates scene. He's dancing. So apparently,
Starsky and Hutch. He's nightclub dancer.
Nightclub dancer. Right.
Whoa! And Starsky and Hutch. Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the show. I'm like, he's not that old. Looks pretty young here. All right. Ibbit or Dunaway, you said something that made me want to say something, and now I forgot what it was. You said, and I said, oh, I have stuff to say about this, and I'll come back to it after you're done, and then you started talking. Do you remember what it was? What was I going to say?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
Oh, no. I already did it. It's the caste system of other cavemen.
Right, the Cro-Magnons versus the Ant.
Yeah. I screwed that up.
Right.
All right. The dinosaurs are not OSHA approved. There's no way I'd ever get on that roller coaster where you had to make sure the dinosaur was nice enough to put his head down and connect with the tail of the other one.
Or drive across that bridge.
Oh, my Lord.
Man. Oh, the bridge was awesome. Yeah.
It horrified me. When you go live action like this, you have to bring it into a place where you have to start thinking about that stuff.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense they would have cars that drive over dinosaurs instead of just having dinosaurs that carry you.
Oh, come on. I mean, you're dealing with Flintstone cars.
And you're going to require this dinosaur to always be lined up perfectly with that road?
Yeah.
By the way, build a bridge. Come on.
That guy is union.
By the way, the Flintstone
hotels in Rock Vegas, but they can't build a bridge?
Look, let me tell you something about the Flintstone family car. It can't turn. I don't know why it has a steering wheel.
Oh, because it's got those rollers. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Don't give me that mess.
Well, the way he would do it in the cartoon is he would lift it up like a dress around him.
And turn it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they didn't do that in this.
This movie really can't... strong Fred and ER.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes they're really
strong, and sometimes they're just kind of average strong.
Yeah, right? No. Like, no one's tired after they just went, I don't know, 30 miles, or however long it took. Oh, no, they flew to Vegas. Never mind. I was thinking they drove there.
It took a trip.
That's my other big complaint.
They took a BC-10.
Yeah, get it. I thought of Ibbit during a part of this because of your love for Vegas. And part of what you like about Vegas isn't just that, oh, a place to drink, have fun, gamble, whatever. I mean, that's part of it. But also it's the spectacle. It's the lights. It's right. The size and the – it's almost like the ridiculous of it and what I thought we were going to get is at least some of that. Instead, yeah. It just felt like a weird, like kind of a crappy set. Didn't feel like Vegas to me at all.
No, it was like a one block town with
It just didn't feel like lights. Vegas. Sure. You show the cowboy waving. Well, okay,
It was early Vegas. Yeah. I mean, what'd you expect?
Well,
sure. And that's another thing where I feel like the movie makers probably were going to go for something more and they realized they just didn't have it. They didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it gets more obvious when they do the footage of them looking up and pointing at stuff. And you kind of get a little bit of transparency screen of the lights going by and the Fremont Street cowboy dude and the other things that are
big text.
right but they do like that transparency over it so you can't see how crappy made it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they just show like it's much clearer to see all the people looking up and like Fred and Barney looking up and pointing at stuff as they drive in.
Yeah, it just didn't, I don't know. So it could have worked better. I feel like this, the original Star Trek series called and they want the material that all their sets were made out of back.
Mm-hmm. You know, the rock, exactly. The glitter rock.
Yeah. I hate that stuff. Yes, Dunaway.
I'm glad that it was disappointed in the portrayal of Vegas.
I was very disappointed in the portrayal of Vegas. They could do so much better if it was CGI. Hey, speaking of cars, another chick in the bucket is Fred Flintstone's Maserati that he got at the end of the wedding.
Yeah.
Why isn't he driving that around and getting Bronto burgers delivered on the side of that thing?
Yeah.
Right, because when he went to pay the taxes for that, it's like, no.
Okay. All right.
Was that the deal? Okay. That's fine. I can't find that. I want to find a picture of this because I forgot what it looks like. But
it's just a little car. It's the car they drive off in the end. So when Chip Rockefeller gets arrested for all the stuff he's done, we assume he gets arrested for faking all the...
Oh, man. He can squeeze through those bars. Oh, wow.
He totally can squeeze through.
I thought he'd get killed by the mob, but whatever.
Does Fred get all the money back that he won before things went bad, or do we just chalk that all up to...
Oh.
That was never his money, right? Because it was loaned out from the bank.
You got to wait for the Clark County Gambling Commission
Before he got the loan, he was winning big at the craps table.
Until he flipped the switch.
Well, yeah, because I think the idea was that he had him on the whole time, and then he turned him off the whole time.
And that is a switch, by the way, that I think Scott Johnson secretly believes they have in Vegas.
I love the switch. It was so hand-wavy.
But the way they said it is that it would have to be Fred's personal switch. Like, there's no...
Yes.
That's ridiculous to have a giant switch the size of the wall for one guy.
You know what? No, I've been to Las Vegas so many times, 50 times, and I'm telling you, they have a Randy switch in every casino. I'm on for a while, and then it's stone cold until I'm busted.
Right, but the size of that switch made me think, oh, that's the entire casino's luck. But no, it was just for Fred, I guess. Because if Fred's winning, others are losing. Yeah.
Alan Cumming had Oscars. He doesn't. He's never been nominated for an Oscar. He's been nominated for Emmys for The Good Wife. And apparently he's been nominated for a Razzie for Son of the Mask. Surprising. But he's also been nominated for the Stinkers Bad Movie Awards for Most Unfunny Comic Relief in a film called The Flintstones and Viva Rock.
I heard of it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Hey, so that guy's in a lot of artsy fartsy stuff, right?
He is
for sure. And my most mainstream memory is him as
Nightcrawler.
Banff, Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And in that X-Men deal, and he was really the best thing about that sequel. He was really, really great. Yeah,
he's great. I actually really, really like him. I think really talented. GoldenEye. He was the hacker dude that steals GoldenEye, I guess, or
something like that.
GoldenEye.
Whatever his deal was there, but he's an interesting actor, and he to me felt like he was slumming in here a little bit. You know, like this wasn't he could maybe get a better gig than this. But I did like that the character he was playing, his chief character, which was the robot, the alien, the Martian.
Gazoo, who everybody calls Kazoo.
The great Kazoo,
right.
Was played by Harvey Korman in the original cartoon. So that's kind of cool that Harvey Korman's, got his feet in both ends of the pool here.
Yeah.
I like
a bunch of people.
Yeah,
bunch of people who have earlier connections to Flintstones properties in this movie.
And the Hanna-Barbera brothers are there somewhere in the wedding.
Yeah, I think they cut to two old guys who are singing the Flintstones song at the wedding, and I think that's them.
They're responsible for dumbing down animation for me. So when they started, they were doing kick-ass stuff with like Tom and Jerry and some other things. Really good, like on par with what they were doing for MGM, what Warner Brothers had done with Bugs Bunny and Roadrunners and all that. And then they got cheap. Then they were like, you know, we could do 50 shows for the same budget as one, but they'll all just be shitty and they'll like it anyway. So that's when you started getting the Scooby-Doos of the world and, you know, was the name of that damn car?
right.
And the grape ape and
buggy?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Speed buggy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not want to get started on how Hanna-Barbera was so bad when I was a kid. Let's just
They were terrible when we were kids.
It wasn't bad. It's that we were receiving two things. It's like, do you compare Bugs Bunny, which were really repeats but were theatrical made, with Hanna-Barbera? It's hard.
Well, not really, because I'm telling you, those Tom and Jerry shorts, which were also for that same kind of purpose, they were shown before movies for MGM. They were amazing. And Hanna-Barbera all up in that stuff. Then the late 60s and 70s came along, and animation just kind of took a bit of a poo anyway in terms of priority. Those guys were just left with, you know, it's not that I'm blaming them. They figured out how to make something with nothing, but none of it's very good. It's all kind of bad.
But they had made the Jetsons, guys. They were legends. And then I come along and I want to see new things. I don't want every Saturday morning to be constant reruns and they're throwing Grape Ape at us. No, they are bad people.
who's the cat that went?
Oh, Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss. I want to put my foot up Snagglepuss's puss.
No, I'm sorry. Snagglepuss was exit stage right.
I hate him so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate him so bad.
What about Muttley? How'd you feel about Muttley?
Yeah, Muttley was the...
Yeah, that was Muttley. You're right. He's fine, okay. I guess. He's one note. But then you had, like, what was the other one? Not Speed Buggy.
Caveman?
Captain freaking Caveman!
Caveman!
Yeah. I don't know if that was that one.
What was that formula? Yeah. Four teenagers and then something sort of supernatural or, you know, talking dog or...
Thanks a lot, Scooby-Doo.
Talking car. Right. Talking caveman, unfrozen caveman lawyer, you know, whatever.
Hey, but you can complain all you want. But that wasn't the bottom. We thought we had reached the bottom with that. No.
I'll give you the bottom.
What's the bottom?
We still had the Happy Days cartoon yet to come.
I mean, this is when Filmation rode into town and said, you think that's shitty?
Let me show you something.
Hold my beer.
Cheaper.
Yeah, hold my beer. I'm going to... what do you think of this? And then they made garbage cartoons.
And then Hanna and Barbera executive produced Foo Fur. And Foo Fur makes... I just feel like the world should end. It's the bottom. You can't get any worse.
Yeah, that was Foo Fur. By the way, people listening at home, Foo Fur, F-O-O-F-U-R, was the name of this thing. And it was...
It was an abomination.
It was terrible.
Wasn't there Christopher too? Wasn't that something?
Kissifer was the the sort of like first thing.
Yeah, okay. That makes me throw up.
You know, I don't know Kissifer because it sounded like it was for girls, but Foofer heavily advertised to me as a kid.
Yeah,
and it just was the worst damn thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, these are horrible.
Yeah,
but hey, you know all that stuff.
Frank Welker, by the way.
Oh, he was in that.
Played Foofer, the voice of Foofer.
Oh, no way.
The voice of Foofer.
No way. I'll get you, man, Megatron.
You can say what you want to, but I ate that trash up like it was trash good.
Snorks? Did you like
I love the Snorks, too. Yeah, I love the Snorks. Even though they were
Snorks. Knock off the Snorks.
No one liked the Snorks.
Oh, I love the Snorks. Even they even had a brainy Snork. I mean, it was just... It was
just a flat-out ripoff of their own Smurfs.
Yeah,
I know, but less French.
Do you guys remember Blast Off Buzzard? Is that a memory of that?
Blast Off Buzzard.
That's really bad. The Buford Files. Those were also bad. That was a spinoff, I think, of Scooby-Doo.
Pound Puppies.
Galaxy Goof Ups. Yogi and the Gang.
Oh, I do remember Blast Off.
Freaking Yogi Bear also sucked. I hated Yogi Bear.
there.
Yeah, but these guys were the masters of reworking and reusing stuff they'd already produced decades before.
Yeah.
So a lot of Saturday mornings throughout the 80s were you turning on something that was the all-new Adventures, Hanna-Barbera's World of Super Adventure, and you're like, oh, great. They just said the words all new, and not a single new thing would be shown for 30 minutes.
The intro would be new, usually.
Sometimes, okay, but then the same 12 total frames of animation they used during the episode, 60% of them were old.
They weren't the only guilty ones, man. Warner Brothers was tearing that stuff up.
No, everybody sucked. No, I agree. That entire period is bad. Just a bad time. Animation was having a dip. It was just having a dip.
It was
86. Don't say bad.
85, 86.
I'd say before. I'm going to give it 70. I'm going to say 72 to almost 91. Wow. I'm going to give that whole time kind of an F.
I don't think it's
such a long period of time. Yeah, but there was something fun.
Name something amazing from that era. You can't do it.
I don't think it nosedives until the later 70s. There's some good stuff in the mid 70s.
Okay.
It takes a nosedive, and then we end up with like I say, good opening songs. Like the Flintstone Kids song was great, but the Flintstone Kids TV show itself was horrible.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Flintstone Kids theme just the regular Flintstones theme?
Just tweaked a little.
But I was a child. I loved it.
Wait, what? And then, Flintstones Kids was way later, wasn't it? When was that?
It was 80. Yeah, that was mid-80s.
No, was it mid-80s?
It started when I was like 10?
1986, and it aired till 88.
Here's the theme if you want to play it on the show, Scott.
Here, did you put the thing
in our Slack? Yeah, if you want
to. I'm gonna click that.
I'm gonna click right on that.
Let's
right
see what
now.
We got I'm here.
Clicking it.
Let's give it a listen. Okay, it's like a little kid, Fred.
Yeah, they're all little kids. Just nullifying the prequel.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is canon.
Right, that they all knew each other as children.
Oh, here we go.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You've just been demonetized.
I am standing. I am standing up in the living room in front of an old box television dancing. And that's it. That's as good as it gets. The rest of the show is never as much of a high point as that song.
Why would they
agree with that?
They're just little tiny versions of the same characters without a beard and Betty has no boobs.
Everything did that.
I know. Yep. That's what I'm saying. This is a huge dip. It's a period of time. Okay, I'll give you, let's say 78 through 92. There's your range. And when I say 92, okay. Because that's when
what brought us out. What
Nickelodeon and Cartoon
out?
Network brought us out.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy brought us out. All those cartoons of that era. Like there was a huge resurgence. It was like, hey, remember how cartoons used to be good? And we've never stopped since. Animation is. We're having a golden age right now. It's fantastic.
I'm going to argue that the Smurfs is better than you're giving it credit for. Ugh.
Dude, it's worse than I give it credit for.
I'm going to say that the animation is all right. I'm going to say that the idea was fairly unique. I'm going to say that the execution was okay.
I'm going to say you have not seen one of those in a while.
I'm going to say I saw one. I saw the Christmas special in December this past year. So I'm going to disagree with you.
I watched
and it was
the
Christmas special from like from the 90s?
Yes. From the 80s? 80s, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go find an episode now. Dude, you were drinking
I've
that night
it.
Or something. What were you drinking?
No, I'm telling you. And there was a few Disney cartoons near the end of the 80s that were all right.
Well, films, yeah. I'm not talking about those.
No,
you
no,
can't
no.
count
I,
like
I meant,
Little
I,
Mermaid
I
and,
film.
You know.
I meant to say TV show.
Okay, because Little Mermaid was like late 80s. Fantastic movie, still holds up.
Right.
Plenty of stuff like that was going on. Disney was about to have their big resurgence, for sure. But on a Saturday morning kind of thing.
So are you saying the Transformers was trash?
I'm saying the Transformers was a toy that needed a show to market it. That's number one and undisputed. Number two, that was cool because we were kids and robots turned into stuff and turned back into robots, and that's badass. It's, but I can't look at it and go, yes, that's quality, excellent animation there, folks, or great storytelling. It's not.
And I have a different take, and that is that Hanna-Barbera were trash in the 80s, and there were other people making good cartoons that I really enjoyed. I loved the Real Ghostbusters. I loved DuckTales. I loved the Inspector Gadget cartoon for years. Mm-hmm. Those were good. Hanna and Barbera were garbage, and they like they dragged down the whole thing, and you had to work around it. You had to figure out, you know, what was good and what wasn't.
Yeah, DuckTales started in 87, ended in 90. I mean, that was when things started turning around, and Disney was getting back into it, and I don't know, right. Cable was much more of a thing, so you had more opportunities for standalone channels like Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, and I'm just happy where it is right now. There is always something good airing somewhere. And even if you get your funniest stuff from YouTube, there's amazing animated shorts on YouTube. And
right.
Like, it's just a great, it's like anything else right now. This is like the time to be, but it's slim pickings when you're a kid, you guys. It was not great.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd
yeah.
tune in and it was like, all right, what do you got for me today, Superman?
The most memorable stuff that I watched in the 80s was stuff that came a decade before. I mean, Johnny Quest, Herculoids, the original Scooby-Doo stuff, all that stuff was stuff I watched when they replayed it on Saturday morning.
Right.
I'm gonna defend these animators and content creators during that time period because the market was incredibly difficult. The technology to get something out, because the reason why you're seeing so much great stuff now is because, oh, come on. I mean, the technology has made it so much easier.
Well, that, guys, plus you can just sub this stuff out to Korea or, you know, other parts of the world where they're doing kind of a mass production sort of workflow. Like, I totally agree. Like, that's a huge part of it, no question. But it's also that people didn't value it enough. There was amazing stuff coming out of Japan in the 70s because people were paying for it. Over here, everyone thought cartoons were dumb unless you were a kid. And so you just didn't get it. And then they figured, well, if we're going to do it, we just have to do it on the cheapest way possible. Like, how can we do this the cheapest way possible? And they're like, well, what if He-Man only had four positions he ever stood in?
Mm-hmm. I think He-Man was an amazing achievement.
In
the fact that it was created by a marketing team and then went on to be something fairly interesting and was able to had so many of them. It put so many animators to work.
Did it, though? I think it put four guys to work because it wasn't...
No, it put way more. It put way more to work.
But did you... you've seen He-Man, right? Like, there's... It's literally, there. I'm not exaggerating when I say He-Man has four positions he stands
you,
in.
Look. Me, you, Randy, and Brian, there's no way we could create something as good and complete and as...
What?
I call bull crap. Absolutely, we could.
And as...
Yeah. I accept your often. Challenge.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody go get their celluloid because we're just computers. Okay, so everybody.
Well, no, if this is our job and the toys.
We've got to create 52 weeks of this, one every freaking week.
And by the way, this is the Hanna-Barbera complaint. Not that they were resting on their laurels, which is true, but that they were trying to do too much. They were, instead of making a great show and that being their focus, they were trying to make 10 new great shows a year at some point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
that's just wrong. You can't do it.
Right.
And tie them to toys that, right. that yeah. they can, you know, make money off of as well.
You got to make money.
Innovative about Masters of the Universe. It is a dude who's got a sword and a bunch of friends attacking a bad dude who's got a castle and a bunch of friends.
Well, if you describe it like that, I could go, there's nothing innovative about a little round-headed boy who's trying to constantly kick a football, then the lady's pulling away from him.
No. Are you, no. Hold on. Your Peanuts has the depth we're talking about. This does... Masters of the Universe does not have this depth. The most depth they ever got was the Christmas special where Skeletor found out that Jesus was real and died for his sins.
That was so good when he was trying to save the kids in the snow. Oh, my gosh. And the stupid little yappy alien dog was wanting to go with him. He's like, no, you're not going with me. And he's like, okay, fine.
Garbage poop of the highest degree.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm glad it exists, mind you. I'm glad all this exists in retrospect, because I like to go visit poop like this.
I want to show some Brian Dunaway some appreciation for trying to defend animators during a time when it's like Scott Adams turns out to be the worst human being, and John Kay is the worst, even more worst human being that's ever lived, and so forth. Like, we're in a really bad time for animators. So like, I'm really, really glad that you're trying to, you know, like throw a bone to all the people like yourself who are
only one of those guys is an animator. And I wouldn't say, I think we're in a great time for animators. We're in a bad time for sexual predators. I'll say that.
Okay. I should have said comic artists.
Right.
There are so many unsung heroes that have.
Boy, I picked animators. A bad time to be a sexual predator.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's not my time.
My point is, it's two examples out of, I mean, they're not enough, but I take your point. I just think that, look, they did with what they had, and I get that, and I respect that. So, Dunaway, funny is we're kind of on the same page. I'm just saying you can't call it good output if you're looking at it objectively. You have to look at it and go, all right, well, what does that mean? How's the animation? Bad. How's the story? Bad.
You could not call it good output when comparing it to today.
Or days before it, though. Like, that's my whole point. This isn't about today. To me, this is like, there's stuff happening in the 50s and 40s that were better than
this. Output is directly related to abilities to sell and market. And in order to survive during that time, they kind of had to do what they had to do.
Totally agree. Had to cut corners. I totally agree. Absolutely. Yeah. That is my entire point. Like, I'm not saying it was anybody's intent. I'm saying they did with what they had.
They did what they had. They did a fine job.
And they did okay. And look, if you ask me, Scott, do you want to live in a universe where Super Friends never happened? No.
Yeah.
It's terrible, but I kind of love that it's terrible.
I'll tell you what really shone through that time period that you're speaking of, and it was the thing that was necessary to elevate some of this stuff, and that was the voice acting or the characters that they created through voice. While some of it can be annoying, I think it really shone a lot during that time. We have a lot more tame character actors now in animation.
Oh yeah,
That's a broad stroke because there's some really great voices, but
so many more now. I think, right.
So many more.
But like, you know, am I glad Skeletor is this complete overacting freak? Yes.
Right.
Like, I love Skeletor. I love the Lex Luthor of the Super Friends era. Super Fools, that whole thing. He's amazing. Like, he's the best Lex Luthor. Screw everybody else. He's the best. But I can't sit here and say that stuff was well made. It's all just...
Well, how about that era of the 70s and 80s where cartoons had to end with the song that would remind you what they all just learned together? Kind of like this movie ending with a big song number.
Yeah, that's
true. I waited for Viva Rock Vegas, and they had a little touch of it at the beginning, right? But then they really did the music number at the end, is that? And then the theme song at the wedding.
Yeah, no, I liked the use in the middle of the show. They had the montage while they were dating. Who's the pop band that they were playing? I think I have some of it.
The Stones?
No.
Oh, right.
Yes, what was that?
Yeah.
I have it right here. Do I? Yeah.
It's the greatest.
Yep. Oh,
yeah.
It is the song that has been declared the outro for anything. You can put it on the outro for anything that's ever been made.
Yeah, it's good. I mean,
you know what? Soundtrack great on this thing is bad. They've got that New Radicals song. They've got Nick Lowe, Half a Boy and Half a Man, as the music that is perfect for the carnival. It's that it's like made for that sort of thing.
Sure.
It's actually got a decent soundtrack. And Marg Rock, you know.
It's all right. Even their version of Viva Rock Vegas, the one you're talking about, has, I don't know, I thought it was real. I mean by that is I thought it was the real song until they said Rock Vegas and I went, they did this for this? Slightly impressed.
Self-respecting rock band would open a big concert with a slow ballad.
No, not especially when it's supposed to be the Rolling Stones analog.
Right.
No way that would have worked, but whatever. At least they had Keith Rockhard on in their band.
That's right. Yes, who was by the way, who was one of the guests from Duran Duran? John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Her name was Rio, and she danced upon the sand. All
right. That's right.
Clips. I got them. I got them right here, everybody. Some clips. Yay. Let's play them. This one is a deal with what? Oh, it's a bad rock reference right up top, right at the beginning.
Now, ladies, don't start chiseling those invitations just yet.
Get it? Because you'd chisel them. instead of print on paper. Yeah. Here's Fred and Barney talking.
We get to spend the rest of our lives working in a rock quarry. Who says dreams don't come true?
I know I should be happy, but I guess I always figured by this point in my life I'd have somebody special to share my success with.
All right, that's a very
sad. Wait, so was that from the original cartoon or was that from the movie?
So if we cast Jeff Garland as Fred Flintstone remaking this today, is there anybody who fits as like the perfect Barney right now?
Oh,
perfect Barney.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I would have never picked either the, you know, Moranis or this guy because I wouldn't have thought of it, but their voices were pretty good. I don't know.
I would just
Jonah
go.
Hill,
oh, I got or, it! I got it!
Right,
I got it. The guy that licks the finger, gets the food, the drippy burger off of what's her name in Saving Silverman. I can't think of his name. He makes me laugh all the time. He played he was the voice of the little zoo monkey.
I didn't know what you were talking about. Now I do.
He's the
Have you seen his new series?
No, I love him though. What's Steve's on? Steve's on. There's your. That's your Barney.
That's not bad. That's a good choice.
Not bad. I would have said. I would have said just a couple years ago, Seth Rogen could have pulled it off. But he's better.
Until he laughed.
Trivia says that David Spade was considered for the role of Barney.
Oh, I got right. Bull
crap. That's pretty good. As long as they're going this crazy, I mean, if we just got like an endless budget, and you know, just Chris Pratt, just.
Drag in the eyeballs. Why not? Yeah, that's fine.
Sean William Scott could have also pulled it off, maybe.
Yeah,
it's not that big a deal. It's just that these little things, like he's got lazy eyes the whole movie, and it just felt like Barney to me.
Mm-hmm. He just looked like he was high for the entire movie.
Yeah, so does Barney in the cartoon.
Yeah, Barney did always have kind of a high quality to him. Well, so did.
I'd like to see him.
Ralph and what's his name from the Honeymooners? Right. He kind of seemed like he was on something.
I'd like to see him go in a totally different direction. With like maybe Chris Hemsworth or something.
Oh my gosh!
Just know. Him like trying to act all mousy.
Barney ever? Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
I'd like to see that.
Here's where I wrote. It's a pretty good Fred.
Now see, that's where you're wrong, Bond. I believe you create your own opportunities in life. You got to go out there and make things happen.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Here's the...
That scene just reminded me of how many Gilligan cuts there were in this film.
Yeah, it's got a lot of Gilligan cuts.
That's a trope, by the way. Yeah. That's when you say something and then it kind of happens.
Yeah. Plus, it's just very... Actually, you know what? The whole tone is very Gilligan for me.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about it. And then wasn't there a Gilligan animated show for a while? And it may have even been Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah,
was.
Sure.
Yeah, that was shit, too.
I'm amazed we haven't gotten a Honeymooners like movie remake.
Yeah, why did that never happen?
We did get a Honeymooners remake.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. it was, when was it? It was, it was like during the 2000s, I think.
Honeymooners.
Let's see, what was it?
Movie.
Who was in that? It was like 2004.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is a very poorly reviewed. Cedric the Entertainer, Mike Epps, and Gabrielle Union. They replaced everybody with African American actors. Yeah, Cedric's great. Mike Epps is cool. Eric Stoltz is in that. John Polito. Oh, yeah. John Leguizamo. Yeah, I don't remember it though. I never saw it. It sounds like this review on this is
probably they had to remove the references to domestic violence.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Right. Probably. I mean, 2005 feels like they'd still have to do it then. Yeah.
I like Cedric the Entertainer. He cracks me up.
Right there in his name. He's
he entertains. Really, it's very entertaining. Yeah. Here's the Great Gazoo. So here you go.
I am the Great Gazoo.
The Great Kazoo.
Barney. Yeah. Betty is Dumb and Lame, I wrote. I don't know why, because I kind of like Jen Krakowski, but I don't know. I wrote this.
The fish is fresh, but be careful. So are the bus boys.
I hate all that. I hate that.
It felt like it was out of 30 Rock, that joke.
Yeah.
It totally did.
Yeah.
Home and home and home.
Without the irony, I guess. All right.
Her dad says that she's the best kisser.
You knew they would do this, is what I wrote. Using all those old sounds, man.
Yes.
Got to.
Here's that Fletcher line.
Your eyes are like two big eyes.
It's a terrible. It's terrible. It's not even funny. It's dumb.
It was funny. I actually laughed at that. I was in the room laughing by myself, and I was looked around, and sure enough, I was the only one laughing.
I was going to say, in the entire state of South Carolina, you would be the only one laughing. All right, here's Harvey Korman doing a thing.
Cavalry, mount up. We're moving out. Charge!
It sucks. It sucks. Here's the little guy from Seinfeld.
Poor Harvey Korman.
I know.
Makes me sad.
He's so great. I want to go watch something with him in it, and so I could laugh again. You know.
The name Slag Hoople is really good. I've always liked it.
Yeah, Slag Hoople's all right. Here's this little dude from Seinfeld.
The boss wants his money. He says he don't think you got it.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
Why were they wearing cactus stuff? I was trying to recall if it was a reference in the movie. I mean,
it was a reference to the cartoon. Yeah. I mean, it was like the really short guy with the super tall hat, and then the thug,
right,
who's just a really big guy who didn't talk much, and I barely remember.
Probably like the rough guys or the mobsters in the cartoon were probably, you know, if they wore something made out of a cactus, that made them tougher or something.
Right, something, yeah.
Yeah. Here's something about wearing in somebody else's underwear.
I'm wearing someone else's underwear.
That's literally what it said.
Oh, the confessional.
Yeah.
I actually thought that's how they were going to get out of it. I thought everybody was going to confess to crimes, and then Fred having those pearls wouldn't be anything.
Right. That's not bad. It's pretty good. I don't know why they didn't go that way. Maybe they planned to and then switched. But here's that guy.
I'm systematically poisoning the dinosaurs' water supply.
Great. Great.
They have a separate water supply for dinosaurs?
Wouldn't you?
That's a really good point now that you say that. I hadn't considered that. That's not very...
Do you drink out of your cat's bowl, you freak?
Ew.
We have the same water supply, me and the cat.
Yeah, you get it out of the same tap. Right,
not me.
But you could poison your cat's water supply just by poisoning that bowl. Like, if you knew the dinosaurs were always drinking out of that one lake, you could kind of just poison that one lake.
All the dinosaurs? It's so weird when you start thinking about it. It makes no sense.
This guy's like a he's like a caveman. He's a caveman era flat earther, is what this guy is. He's the equivalent.
Oh, so they were all flat earthers.
There was a flat. I like the flat earth joke too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. All right, here's something about your wedding.
You'll be spending your wedding night
with me.
Ew. Oh, you know why? You know why I captured that? Because it reminded me when you go to a drive up. And you're like, yeah, I'll have the freaking combo with the deal and the Coke and whatever. And the girl that said, can I take your order, turns into a man. There's now a man says, okay, anything else for you? I hate that.
Yeah, I do hate when they switch it up.
That's what it reminded me of, so that's why I kept it. Here's your stick your butt out.
What do you think, Betty? Should I stick my butt out a bit further?
Further. I did like, I kind of liked his Mick Jagged. I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Does he look good like that?
Oh, it's more of that. This made me laugh.
I hope you're not the two girls I sent for.
That's pretty funny, I guess.
Because they're in drag.
Yeah, because they're in drag. See, they're in dresses. See, that's a funny thing by itself.
Did you catch
funny. Yeah.
Right. Did you catch any more of him?
This one.
What?
That's it.
What? What?
I might keep that around.
What?
It's pretty good.
Nobody pinches my bird. I was hoping you caught that. That was.
We'll see if this. This might be it. This is my final clip.
Watch your mouth, Mister.
Oh, this is Barney.
Watch your mouth, Mister.
All right, great. Thanks, buddy. That's the end of that. Oh! Just handed to me on this card right here. Film sack checklist. Stupid and dumb. Check. Lame and cringy. Check. Poopy and crappy. Check.
Wow.
There you go.
Also nicknames for each of the thugs.
Yep, poopy and crappy. Crappy do. Anyway, look at this Star Trek connection. This is nuts. I want to blow your guys' mind, so here I go to blow it. Steve Shrippa, he played a groupier in this thing. On Enterprise, played Carmen in some episodes, a couple episodes. Scott Schwartz played Caveman Boxer. He was in Voyager and Enterprise in various roles. Kevin Grievous, Associate Goon. He was in DS9. Joseph Stevenson, blah, blah, blah. These names go on and on. John Cho, of course, Parking Valet, yes. Sulu in Star Trek Into Darkness and Beyond, and the original Star Trek reboot. Joe Davis, the tattooed Neanderthal in Enterprise, played the Orion Servant in the episode Bound. And finally, a big one. We haven't even talked about her. Joan Collins. She was Pearl Slagpole. She was Edith Keeler in the episode The City on the Edge of Forever in the original series. And she's still alive, by the way. Still with us.
So, and I enjoyed her spit take. That was pretty good.
But did you... I did not expect so many Star Trek connections for...
Nope.
This dumb Flintstones movie. Mm-hmm. It's almost like... It's ironic because it's about cavemen at the beginning of time. Yeah. And Star Trek's about... the furthest possible way. Yeah, the end of time. End times. Anyway, there's that. Soundtrack great. I'd give it an okay for it. It was okay. It was fine. It's nothing special. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Licensed stuff was better than I expected. Time for you guys to sum this up in 140 characters. Sorry, 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The Flintstones and Viva Rock Vegas. Way more fun than you'd think, considering you don't actually know any of these people going in, and then they switch partners pretty soon after they get started. It's just like Saturday night at Ebbets' house.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, dude. Still recovering from last night, I'm sure.
That's right.
Also, Brian Dunaway.
The Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. Like some prehistoric prequel set in Vegas that promises a yabba-dabba-doo time, but what you get is like 10% yabba dabba and 90% do, which I guess isn't technically a lie, but you still feel gazooed.
Yeah, and time. You also got some time in there. It was an hour. Yeah. It was almost 2 hours. Well, no, it was.
No, it was hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
It was pretty short.
Hour and a half. Not too bad. It felt longer than that.
It did feel long. Yeah.
Ibbit.
The Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. This is the worst caveman movie we've ever seen. And we've seen the Ringo Starr one.
Oh.
And we've seen Caveman. That's right. We have seen Caveman, right? I don't remember that.
We have
that.
Seen
okay.
Caveman.
We did. Yes. We did.
Yep. Old Mandela effect there.
Yep, that one we've seen.
Well done. Oh, that's not the right thing. I got to move that key. That's the third time I've done that. Hey, look, it's the alternate title, also on its own little card here. This movie sucks rocks was just about the title. And for some reason, for no reason I can tell, anus pickles. That's the other one. I don't know what that
anus
means.
Pickles?
I don't know what that's for. It just says anus pickles. I don't make the list. Someone gives this to me.
Wow.
I don't know what's happening. Anus pickles. Speaking of those, Jeff Woosley wrote in. No, no offense, Jeff.
It'll be a game.
We'll never write anything.
He's an emailer, sent an email to filmsock@gmail.com, and he says, while watching the movie Speed Racer, speaking of last week, I thought it had a lot to share with the Scott Pilgrim movie. Not only because the original source material was manga for both. That's actually not true. The Scott Pilgrim wasn't manga. It was just a comic, and I think the guy was British. But anyway, you can't call that manga, right? Or if that's true, then any comic book is manga, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's right that the source material are graphic books, hand-drawn stories in books like a comic book or a manga in Japan. But I don't think Scott Pilgrim...
Because this is the important part.
Yeah, this is the important part. Anyway, but in the way they tried to mix those sensibilities into the film, says Jeff, I agree. One movie did it really well, and the other did not. That's all I would say. Mm-hmm. And part of that is not their fault. Part of that is because they had... there's a very good chance that none of us would even know what Speed Racer is without the show they made in the 60s. So had it not been for that show, there was probably no movie to begin with, and the movie had to be more of an homage to the show and its sensibilities than it did the original source material. So Scott Pilgrim got away with it more, I think, because it went straight comic to movie and there was no other expectation. In fact, most people will never read that comic. So,
right. That's the main thing about Scott Pilgrim is 80% of the audience, it was all fresh. So it could be whatever it wanted to be.
Yeah. The comic I read and is super hipster and very, very indie. And, you know, there's nothing about it that would garner a mainstream
and
audience.
Let's be clear. Edgar Wright is 100 times the filmmaker of whoever made Speed Racer.
Wachowski's sister. Oh, I got in some trouble for the sisters brothers thing, by the way.
What do you mean?
Really?
Well,
we were very careful about that.
I did too. The show. Well, I mean, I've had this big conversation with them off air, and they were totally nice, and we came to a whole bunch of understanding. So there is no bad blood, but I guess it's hard because they used to brand themselves as the Wachowski brothers. That's how they would have their names on the monikers.
And it says it at the very end of the film too, Wachowski brothers.
Yeah, and even at the beginning it said directed by the Wachowski brothers, and all the movies they did while representing as brothers, that's the name they used, and then that changed for a while where only one was a brother, the other was a sister. So there's a lot of, you know, that's a difficult thing to navigate because by its very nature, it's complicated. That's all we were trying to say. So if anyone else out there was having issues with it, we weren't making fun ever. That was just us saying, well, it's kind of confusing. They were brothers. Now they're sisters. For a while, they were brother, sister. What do they do now? Like, these are just questions. This isn't us going, they were brothers once. Now they're sisters. Like, that's not us.
I think their last film actually was when they collaborated was the Wachowskis.
Oh, Wire
Man.
I think that's what they've been using ever since.
That's a good way to do it. Sure. Mm-hmm. Because, nobody should feel like they have to lock into anything. If they want to change again, why change your branding? Just be the Wachowskis. That's how you should do it.
Exactly.
Anyway, thanks. The person didn't know who I'm talking to. They were really, they called me, how should I put this? They called me out on Twitter, and then I was like, well, let's take this to the DMs and actually have a discussion. And we did that, and it's always good to do that if you can. Mm-hmm. Have like a real discussion with somebody and kind of get where their head's at. They get where your head's at, and you'd be surprised where you end up. It was great. Anyway, that's the email address to send things to, that being filmsack@gmail.com. You could be like Jeff Woosley and tell us things about stuff, and we're happy to read them right here on the show. Our next movie.
We won't call you an anus pickle.
No, we will not call you an anus pickle ever. Or a pickled anus.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, maybe that's what they were going for.
It's like a Survivor challenge, right? On Survivor, they're like, you got to eat 3 pickled anuses before the other team. Or pickled anuses. Let's move to knowing what our next movie is. What is it?
Oh, that's Queen of the Damned next week. We're watching The Queen of the Damned.
I don't know what that is.
That's right.
The Queen of the Damned.
Yes, a reincarnated vampire queen and vampire turned rock star join forces to take over the world. But a group of ancient vampires aim to stop them.
This is the 2002 iteration?
Yes,
okay.
With Aaliyah.
All right.
And written by Anne Rice about the vampire Lestat.
It's her novel. And then the screenplay by Scott Abbott. And then Aaliyah, however you say her name.
Aaliyah.
Who's Margaret Moreau? Do we know her?
Marguerite.
We're going to find out next week. We'll get there.
Hold on. It's ringing a bell. Oh, Wet Hot American Summer.
Start doing the show now.
Wet Hot American Summer. That's what she's from. Yep. All right. Well, here you have it. Queen of the Damned, 2002. Currently enjoying a 30% Metascore, a 5.3 on IMDb, and who knows what Rotten Tomatoes says about this. But, looks like a stinker. But I'm excited. And it was made in Australia. No, wait. I'm reading some things. Well, whatever.
I just know that after we see this movie, we're going to dust ourselves off and try again.
Yeah.
Just dust yourself off and try again.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Do that. Sing that every time.
Wasn't that Aaliyah? Wasn't that her song?
I think so. Wasn't it?
Dust yourself off and try again.
She's still working? She died.
No, she's dead. Yeah.
This is Aaliyah. Right. That's bad.
Oh, that Aaliyah.
How did she die? What was her death?
A car plane crash, wasn't it?
I thought it was a plane. Was it car crash? Oh,
plane crash. It was the TLC.
Plane crash.
The TLC or Lisa Left Eye Lopez died in a car crash in the Bahamas.
She was in that car?
Aaliyah died in the Bahamas.
Oh. Aaliyah died in a plane crash.
Right, and then the other one, Left Eye Lopez, died in a car crash in Honduras.
She was only 22 years old, and this movie was released posthumously. It came out in 2002.
Oh, wow.
So she died in 2001, about 15 days from 9/11, just to put your head in what time we were in. Okay. That's crazy.
All right.
What you mean. Anyway, we'll get to all that next week. On a jam-packed, entertaining episode of FilmSack. In the meantime, FilmSack.com is the website you can visit for all things FilmSack, and you can leave us voicemails over there. You'll find out how if you just go there. FilmSack@gmail.com is the email address. You can also send voicemails there if you want. You can find us on Twitter, @FilmSack, and leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time. What was that? The tiptoe? Was that? Okay. I don't know what that was.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.